This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Here's something we haven't said in a long time. The stock market went up this week. There was some good news about bank stocks, or at least not such bad news, big pharmaceutical mergers, and in case you suspect you hear the hoofbeats of little bulls over the horizon, Robin Farzad, senior writer for Business Week, is here in the studio to do what, Robin? To pounce bear-like on this little bit of good news we have from Wall Street?
And to pontificate and bloviate, of course.
Okay, what do you make of this week on Wall Street?
Look, it's ice cold comfort when you talk about a stock market that even at the 7,000 level is at half its year 2007 high, right? And if we go back in history, 6,500, 7,000 is what we saw in the beginning of 97, where I personally was in that interregnum between the Macarena and Spice Girls. So, you know, it's freezing cold comfort, but we'll take whatever we can get.
You're getting nostalgic. Last week, President Obama talked about bargains on Wall Street. It was an unusual moment, the idea that perhaps stocks at the level they were trading at really were undervalued compared to the earning power of those stocks. Do you think it had any influence, or was he saying something that's a truism on Wall Street?
You know, for us in the biz, it was really a Twilight Zone moment. Historically, even during the crash of 87, you see people at the Oval Office level really employing euphemism to talk about markets and talking about it in platitudes and anodyne phrases about stability and the system is sound. But he actually went out there. He could have been in a Fidelity ad. But, you know, the markets didn't snap back immediately. But it's nice to know that the White House is at least mindful of the fact that an exceptional amount of wealth is tied to the stock market in this country, and the stock market's gotten bludgeoned.
And one of the problems for the stock market, I gather, can be explained by the phenomenon of crowding out, or the problem of crowding out. I want you to describe what that means.
Yeah, it's a bit inside baseball, but if you think about it in terms of what would you do if your bank was offering really juicy savings yield? If for example, it was going to pay you 12% on a five-year CD, you wouldn't have to take a flyer in the stock market to get returns like that. So you would put all of your money and even what you thought would be your risk money, assuming inflation was low, in that CD. Similarly, right now, what we're seeing within the capital markets is companies are having a vexingly hard time getting people to lend them money. So they have to sweeten the yields. So while General Electric has a stock that's gotten killed in the market, simultaneously, this company, which was until recently a blue chip with a AAA credit rating, has had to keep, you know, the yields keep going up to entice institutional investors to lend it money. So if the yields are up, whatever, in the 9-10% range for something that gets you priority in the capital structure, why would you take a flyer on the stock? It's really that simple.
So these companies that would like to have, I assume, investors, instead acquire lots of credit.
They do. And it's a tug of war between creditors and investors. In an ideal world, you have a sanguine outlook on both fronts. Things are humming. Your cost of capital is low. But stock market holders and a lot of bond market holders, mind you, in bankruptcy have gotten so burnt in the past 3 years that they're looking for some sort of guarantee. And also, one other point to bring in, dividends are being cut like never before. I mean, it would have been unthinkable for General Electric or even Citi until recently to cut its dividends. Mm-hmm. So that coupon, that yield is not as secure on the stock side of the ledger.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robert.
It's Robin Farzad, senior writer for Business Week.